Hello, I'm Frank Wright, President and CEO of D. James Kennedy Ministries. Before we begin this week's program, I want to take a moment during this unprecedented time to offer a word of encouragement. With many parts of our nation literally shut down and all of us practicing the newly acquired skill of social distancing, we are all trying to do our part in loving our neighbor through careful responsibility. At the same time, these are the kind of times that define us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Based upon His unbreakable promises, for those in Christ, we have nothing to fear. The psalmist, singing praises to the Lord, says, "In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." No virus determines the number of your days or mine. Only God can do that. And at the same time, we want to remind you that Jesus uses His own people to build the kingdom of God. And in these turbulent times, churches and other faith-based ministries are not exempt from their operating expenses right now. Quite candidly, without your help, many of these will be hanging by a financial thread. I urge you to continue being a faithful steward of what God has given you. First, by continuing to tithe to your own local church, which has not stopped working, though you may not be meeting together publicly. And if you will allow me, I ask that you not forget this ministry either. America needs the truth of God's Word more than ever. By God's grace, we will all make it through this trial of this viral pandemic. And when things begin to return to normal, we will still have a watershed national election ahead of us. Thank you for faithfully supporting our efforts to proclaim the full counsel of God on important cultural issues. Thank you. And may the Lord Jesus bless you and protect you.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we see socialism on the march in America.
Economic freedom has also been slowly and silently been eroding over the years.
Socialism comes to us disguised as compassion, but is it really?
If the social justice advocates, the cultural Marxists, get their way, Venezuela is where we're headed.
Advocates of socialism plan to steal your freedom and your vote. Find out how on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Socialism is growing in popularity in America. There's even an avowed socialist who could be one of our major party's presidential nominees this fall. Why is socialism proving to be so popular, especially with the young? Socialism, like all false promises, sounds good on the surface. It seems compassionate and fair, and even vaguely Christian. But is it? On today's program, we'll examine these claims. You will discover how socialism works out in reality, as well as the Bible's teaching on it, which may surprise you. And we have some important resources that will pull back the veil on how those propagating socialism are working to steal your vote, and what you can do about that. As we begin, our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb takes a closer look at so-called compassionate socialism.
I think what we're seeing is actually an acceptance of our socialist nature. We have to recognize that we cannot do well by our people of this country without it.
What they're teaching in these schools, they're completely avoiding the actual factual history of what we went through to get to where we are, like with capitalism, the free markets.
Young people have a lot of debt going on right now, and they don't have a lot of money. It's the same old story. If you don't have a lot of money, you want people with money to give you freebies. If you have money, you have to have a very special soul to be willing to give it away. There's something to be said for Bernie. He is uplifting his voter base and asking them to come together and be responsible for one another as people.
Who would have thought that in America there would arise a major presidential candidate who was an out-and-out socialist?
We must create an economy that works for all, not just the very wealthy.
Who would think that outright socialists like Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and others would be supported by so many young people?
One of the things that occurs to me is that the people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and many of her generation, not to be disparaging, but they were, like, she herself was born a month after the Soviet Union fell and the wall collapsed in Berlin. She has no frame of reference. She didn't live in the Cold War. She never has lived personally in a world where communism was oppressive to as many people. If she would go to Venezuela, if she would go to Cuba and to the few places on the earth where they're still trying to make it work and stay there long enough and talk to the people, maybe she would see.
Some people claim that the Bible teaches socialism. It does not. It teaches charity, which is voluntary, not coercive. Socialism is a form of theft, theft by the government. Socialism stokes the flames of envy and covetousness. Socialism violates at least two of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not covet.
So there's a great move today called progressivism. And it's really another label for socialism, but I think it's better a better descriptor, because what progressives believe is that society as it is isn't really good enough. That we can progressively be better. And eventually, we as individuals and as a culture can become perfect. They believe in the perfectibility of man, the perfectibility of culture. But at the foundational level of socialism and progressivism is the lack of understanding of the sinful nature of man. That's the problem. And that's what we have got to be talking about.
Some critics of socialism note that one of the biggest drawbacks is that it essentially destroys innovation and initiative.
We all want the opportunity to advance. You know, we all want the opportunity to fulfill our potential. And those are the things that conservative policies ensure, and that things like socialism obviously take away freedom and take away your opportunity to advance or to be fulfilled.
So what you have here is, first of all, massive income and wealth inequality. And as a nation, we have got to think from a moral perspective and an economic perspective whether we think it is appropriate that three people, one, two, three, own more wealth than the bottom half of the American society.
What most Americans can't really get their hands around is that when socialism takes root, the only way that they can keep people within that very closed system is to murder several million of them as an example to the rest of them, you better stay in line. So socialism doesn't work where people make up their own minds and pick their jobs and pick their spouses and pick their places to live and which brand of cereal they're going to have. It works when the government gives you extraordinary limitations, and if you don't like those, they kill you.
Some experts note that the breakdown of the family is one of the factors contributing toward the rise of socialism in America.
What we're finding is that traditional married homes with children in them, they typically vote conservatively and to the right. And on the other end of the spectrum, the never marries and the cohabitating, the divorce, they primarily vote socialist. Family, children, marriage, it's all tied to becoming a conservative. It's an important threshold to becoming a conservative.
In Romania, we lost our freedom because we were conquered by the boots
of Russians, and my ancestors, my relatives, were too afraid to speak up against them. I believe in America, we are losing our freedom because we as Christians are afraid to speak up. And that's a dangerous. There is no reason for us to be afraid. America and American people brought Christ and freedom to people all over the world. It's time for us Americans to bring Christ and freedom back to America, because there is no freedom now, even in America, without Christ.
There's a great deal of political shouting today about income inequality, government health care, and about everyone getting their so-called fair share. As someone once said, the left is very generous with other people's money, that is. And they have convinced millions to try to vote themselves riches at the expense of others. Despite its blood-soaked history, many in the millennial generation dangerously believe that socialism actually works and is a good idea. But what does the Bible say about all of this? Dr. D. James Kennedy recognized that freedom was the best way to bring justice and prosperity to everyone. He peels away the myths about fairness and compassion and replaces them with scriptural truth in his classic message, The Christian View of Economics.
We have seen over the years how religious liberty has eroded in this country, piece by piece, little by little. And I would also like to bring to your attention today that economic freedom has also been slowly and silently been eroding over the years. And since this is the land of opportunity, I think we might do well to consider the things that militate against the continuation of that opportunity. A land of freedom, freedom of opportunity. I think it is providential that in the birth year of this nation in 1776, there was also published a great and monumental work entitled The Wealth of Nations, an investigation of the causes and nature of the wealth of nations by, of course, the famed Adam Smith, and gave us the first great complete work on free enterprise economics called Capitalism. And so capitalism and America have the same birthday. An interesting thing. But again, there are those that would try to do away with that. In 1948, the Liberal World Council of Churches was formed in Amsterdam, and at the very first meeting, they called upon Christians all over the world to abandon capitalism and adopt socialism. They started Christian social organizations. They called for social justice. And indeed, many churches, the liberal churches, followed in their train and began to proclaim those views and encourage socialism. And of course, they declared that socialism was that which was taught in the Bible. So I think one of the first things we need to ascertain is socialism taught in the Bible? Well, let's go right to the citadel of their teaching and take a look at it. That neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the pieces of the things which are sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Why that does sound like socialism or communism. From each according to his ability, to each according to his need. Voila! The Bible does teach socialism. And thus, millions of Christians around the world were persuaded, but not quite so fast. A text without a context is a pretext. And this disjointed passage, taken out of its context, has been used as a pretext to sell a mess of socialistic pottage to millions of Christians in America and around the world. So let's continue and take a look at the context as it's found in the next few verses, where we read in Acts 5:1 that Ananias and Sapphira had a piece of land, they sold it, and they brought part of the money, and they laid that at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Now, keep in mind, one of the basic tenets, the most primary tenet of socialism and communism, is either that the state owns property and the means of production, or at least it controls them. In fact, the famous Parisian socialist Proudhon is famous for a brief statement that has been repeated millions of times in the writings of socialists, and that is a definition of property. Do you know what property, how it's defined? Property is theft. That's socialism. Property is theft. And you think that you have private property? No, there's no such thing. It belongs to everyone. It is the people's property. And it is owned and cared for them by the state, who somehow or another manages to keep most of it for itself. But now, what does this say? It says, verse 4, "Whiles it remained, was it not thine own?" Private property. The very antithesis of socialism or communism. God realizes that for us to exercise our responsibilities before Him, both of justice and charity, it is essential that we own property. And therefore, God has guarded private property with the flaming sword of His own commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." Is a divine guarantee of private property. We have heard that the liberals called for a Christian socialism. They call for social justice. And so most everything that goes on in Washington today is based on the concept of social justice. Yet it would be interesting to find out how many people could define that term, and how many people could contrast justice with charity. These are antithetical. They are virtually entirely opposite. Furthermore, public charity as contrasted with private charity leads to indolence, while private charity encourages work. And public charity tends to destroy private charity, already has to a large extent. Private charity leads to belief in a providential God, where public charity leads to belief in the state, which is antithetical to belief in God. And private charity would help more people in more beneficial ways than ever will be done in an ever-increasing socialist state. Now, the Bible teaches the very antithesis of socialism. It teaches that God is the center of our lives and our world, and that we should live according to His teachings.
There is a famous old quote, the provenance of which is somewhat uncertain, but which is true no matter who said it. Democracy can only exist until the majority discovers it can vote for itself largesse out of the public treasury. After that, the majority always votes for the candidate promising the most benefits, with the result that democracy collapses. Unfortunately, there are millions in America today who are following the siren song of socialism. Those who understand biblical truth are in the best position to oppose this agenda, since Christianity upholds freedom and opposes envy and theft and false gods. And that's why the left is working to negate your vote, or even to steal it altogether. Learn more in this powerful new book from veteran Washington journalist Robert Knight called Liberty on the Brink: How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. It's available exclusively from this ministry as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work. Liberty on the Brink exposes the plans on the left to steal your vote, from proposals to abolish the Electoral College to ballot harvesting and others. Are you aware how electronic voting can be abused to annul your vote? Do you know how the left is trying to encourage illegal, ineligible voting by eliminating voter ID laws? It is absolutely vital that you get this book, read it, and share it with others. 2020 is a watershed election year in America, and only our vigilance can ensure that the integrity of our nation's elections is preserved. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will thank you by sending you the Liberty on the Brink book plus our new special DVD program, Stealing Your Vote, which includes an interview with Robert Knight, as well as other compelling experts like William J. Federer, Gary Bauer, and Trump legal advisor Jenna Ellis Reeves. These resources are a powerful 1-2 punch, and you will be stunned to discover the lengths that the far left is going to in order to ensure that something like 2016, when Christians turned out in force and voted pro-life and pro-constitution, can never happen again. We have to understand what their strategy is if we're going to effectively counter it. Contact us right away with your generous donation to receive the new book, Liberty on the Brink: How the Left Plans to Steal Your Vote. And if you are able to give $50 or more to help us boldly proclaim biblical truth on national television, as well as online during this pivotal election year, we will send you the book plus the exclusive DVD special program, Stealing Your Vote. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. Socialism is growing in popularity in America, especially among millennials. Aspiring presidential candidate Bernie Sanders, who once honeymooned in the old Soviet Union, imagine that, openly proclaims his socialism to the cheers of thousands. But it's important to remember what this is really all about. Socialism is based on envy and resentment. Its foundational premise is that other people's stuff, whether their property or their labor, should rightfully belong to you instead. Socialism tells us that every moment you are deprived of someone else's stuff is another moment that you are a victim of injustice. From the outset, Karl Marx characterized all human history as class warfare. And so from the socialist left, we hear a constant drumbeat about income inequality, the sins of the so-called 1% of the richest Americans, and their call for wealth redistribution. The problem in this view is always outside of us. Someone else is at fault and depriving us of the things we deserve. Sadly, this view never finds satisfaction because envy and resentment are sins and they multiply like cancer. The cure for this is not the continual plundering of others, but an understanding of grace. Our envy of others is a sin and it's an affront to God. Like Satan himself, we think we deserve to be elevated, when in reality, we have only earned condemnation. We have no right, under a just God, to anything good at all. But God, in His deep love and rich grace, has mercy on us. We could not earn His favor, for we have committed heinous crimes against Him. But He has offered us His grace as a gift. He has sent us Jesus Christ, His beloved Son, who perfectly, sinlessly obeyed the Father where we have disobeyed. And He suffered the penalty our sins deserved in His death on the cross. And He did it as our substitute. Today, you can receive what Jesus did for you right now, this very moment, by turning away from your sins, including the envy that tells you you are entitled to what you haven't earned. Peace with God comes through believing in Jesus Christ and trusting in what He has done for you at the cross. Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." If you are ready to receive Christ today, call upon Him. And He will answer you. If you do that, we have a book we would like to send you at no cost or obligation to you. It's Dr. Kennedy's book for new believers to guide you in your relationship with Christ. It's called Beginning Again. Contact us right away to receive a copy. And may God bless you as you do. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
But why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?
So that's really the choice. People have to decide, is your faith based on the Bible, or is it based on what I think, what I feel, what I believe? It's a dangerous place to build a faith.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.